If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus. Boy, Pastor Dave, you wander from Dan to Beersheba. You wander. I'm always looking for, in communion, thoughts that can bring out in many different ways what Jesus did for us as we celebrate this morning his work upon the cross, where he took the sins of the whole world without exception and paid the price on the cross for the sins of the whole world. In this last time that we had communion a month ago, wow, it just seems like, is it me or did that month go fast? And already we're at communion again, and we've been contrasting the old and the new covenant. We talked the last time about the fact that John's expressed it both best. Law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we've been contrasting the old and the new covenant. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, I know I told you to go to Exodus, but if you put your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus expressed these two programs in this way. Jesus said, no one, in verse 9:16 of Matthew, puts a patch of unshrunk cloth and an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Nor do men put new wine into old wineskins. Boy, I bet you that bothers fundamentalists. I guess you could substitute the word grape juice, huh? Nor do men put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. What's Jesus teaching? Why, Jesus, are you talking about wineskins? He's contrasting the old covenant under Moses with the inauguration of the new covenant. Jesus didn't come to reform the old covenant. Jesus didn't come to put a new patch on old wineskins. He's making a new program. Law came through Moses. That's the old wineskins. Jesus said, you use new wine in fresh wineskins, meaning his program is different. The contrast is, law taught us of what God demands, but also that we are guilty and cannot do what God's law demands, and therefore Jesus brought new wineskins of a new program to teach us through the grace and truth of Jesus Christ what he did. And there is one story that Paul uses to do this. He also teaches how that God's program in Jesus Christ is qualitatively different than that old covenant with its strict rules. And by the way, the one condition of the Mosaic covenant was do it all or you're guilty of it all. That's the curse of the law. So in here in Exodus chapter 34, let me give you a little background. Moses received the Ten Commandments. By the way, the Ten Commandments is only a little part of all of the Mosaic Law. Some of you think that the Ten Commandments are all of Moses' law. No. Those were just the encapsulated start. Moses' law was everything from you cannot wear wool and cotton together. You cannot eat shrimp or pork, lobster. The Jews did not separate the thou shalt nots from the dietary laws. It was all one big unit. So if you took and had lobster, guess what? You were guilty of it all. That's how they viewed it. That's the curse of the law. That's why Jesus Christ started a new program. And here, there's a story that when Moses wrote down the law, when he got back down from the mountain, they were throwing a party. It was a wild party. And it wasn't like Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. That was a very cleaned up version of what happened. And so Moses had to go up again, climb up the mountain, and sat with God 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, he didn't eat a thing. He didn't drink a thing. Merely being in the presence of God, everything that Moses needed while he was in God's presence, everything was supplied in a way that we don't even understand. And it says in verse 27 of chapter 34, then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, and understood is, which you've already written down before, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Now, that's the law. That covenant is not only the Ten Commandments, that covenant is don't eat pork and don't eat shrimp and lobster and everything else, wool and all of that, and that whole thing. It's a package. You can't separate the moral from the dietary. It's not how they did it. So it says in verse 28, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. Now, how in the wide world do you last 40 days? What is it? Air, a couple of minutes. Water, a week. Food, How do you do it? Because in God, what God was teaching Moses was, in my presence is everything that you need. Look what it also says. And he wrote down on the tablets the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. But remember, you can't separate the ten, thou shalt not, from the lobster. And look at verse 29. What's your point, Dave? And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and he had the two tablets in his hand from the mountain, that something very supernatural was happening. It says that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with God. Can you imagine spending 40 days and 40 nights that... Now, he didn't see God. The Bible is very clear that no man has seen God. When Jesus became man, he was tabernacled in human flesh. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, then Jesus let the veil go of the flesh, and he shone brighter than the sun, but he was tabernacled and veiled. But when... You were seeing God's glory in Jesus, but not seeing God. Here, Moses sat and didn't see God, but he, because God was there, and he had what we would call the glorious shining of God's presence in his face for 40 days. He didn't see God, but God was there, and he was in God's presence, and this, whatever this was, this glorious radiation, was in front of Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses didn't sleep, he didn't eat, he didn't get tired, he didn't drink, and he's absorbing the glory of God for this whole period of time. And when he walks down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, Moses is doing something that would scare all of us. Moses has what they call an afterglow. He's glowing
reflecting that he's been in God's presence. Can you imagine that? When you get in God's presence, it sure sounds like if you stand in God's presence, it will actually give you an afterglow to be in that presence. So that I can only guess, I'm not a scientist, not a physicist, but I can only guess that in God's presence, the physical material nature of the material world actually excites and gives off a glow from the power and glory of God himself.
And it says, when he got down there, he wasn't aware that his face was shining. And when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid. Now, come on now. You know that we'd all be afraid. Can you imagine if you're afraid with Moses glowing, what it must be like to stand in the glorious light of God? And Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers. And Moses spoke to them, and afterwards all the sons of Israel came near. That meant at first, guess what they did? They backed away from him. Wouldn't you back away? That would be scary. And he commanded them, while he's glowing, to do all that the Lord spoke to him on the mountain. And look what he had to do. And when Moses finished, in order to keep the sons of Israel, the tribes from being frightened, he had to put a veil around his face to block the glow, because they were scared to death. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, he would put a veil on his face until he went to speak with God again. Now, Pastor Dave, what in the wide world does that have to do with communion? It does. Because Paul makes a point of this. Now, I want you to get the idea. Let me ask you something. How long did Moses' face glow? Every time he went to see the Lord, it glowed, and it frightened them, so he puts a veil. How long did that glow last? And did Moses for 40 years and 40 nights glow? No. It was a temporary exciting of the physical nature of Moses that shot forth God's glorious radiation of some sort. But eventually, what would happen to that glow of Moses? It would what? Fade away. That glow was glorious and wonderful, so wondrous it was that it frightened the children of Israel. But eventually, what happens to that glow? Even though to be in God's presence is glorious, Moses eventually lost the glow. And there's the point that Paul's going to make. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul makes the point about the old and the new covenant. The old and the new covenant. Paul drives this home. In verse 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 4, Paul, being a student of the Old Testament, remembers Moses' glow under the Old Covenant and that it faded away. Now watch how he builds on this. And such confidence, verse 4 in 2 Corinthians 3, we have through Messiah. By the way, every time you see the word Christ, that is not Jesus' name. When Hollywood takes Jesus' name in vain, Jesus' name was Yeshua, Joshua. It wasn't Christ. That's his office. You know what the word Christ means? Messiah. So when you see Jesus, Christ, that is the declaration, Joshua of Nazareth, the word they hate the most now that you're learning that, he is what? The Messiah. The anointed one is what Christ means. Now that we are adequate in ourselves to consider, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a greatly revised old covenant. of a modified old covenant, we now are okay to eat lobster and shrimp and have a good pork sandwich. That's way. That's what Jesus told Peter in Acts 10. Arise, Peter. Here's a ham sandwich. Peter says, Lord, I don't eat those kind of things. Jesus says, here's a ham sandwich, Peter. What I have declared clean under the new covenant, don't you call unclean. In other words, Peter, get with the program. There is a new program. There are new wineskins. The old is gone. And look what it says. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter. You know what the letter is? That's the word that Paul uses for the law. You ever said the word low? Low, 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 low. How low can you go? That's what the Hebrew word means. No, 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 no. That's the Ten Commandments. Low, 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 low. And that shouts no, 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 because that's what the Hebrew means. And that's what they got in the Ten Commandments. No, no, no. But in Jesus Christ, He's put in a new covenant. It's not the letter which kills. What happens if you violate one of the Ten Commandments, the loaves? What did they do or could have done? What would they do? They would stone. That's the letter. That's the law. That's why He says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Under the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit. Under the old covenant, they had the letter. And guess what? You want to be old covenant? You want to recognize all of that? Then know that the letter what? Kills. But the Spirit in the new covenant gives what? One was no. The other one is love. All of the promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading away as it was, how shall the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? Now, here is what he's saying. The old covenant with Moses, it was great. Don't get wrong. It was the law was wonderful. It reflects the holiness of God. But its function was deliberately to show us we cannot please God. We cannot keep it all. That's a curse. And Jesus Christ came with new wineskins, a new program of the new covenant where we are under the Spirit, given the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, and it has greater glory. And if Moses' face shone with glory from the old covenant, how much more shall we, under the new covenant, have greater glory through Jesus Christ? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory on account of the glory that surpasses it. Please note verse 10, and with that I'm going to close. The glory of Jesus Christ in the new covenant is so great that Moses and his glory completely ceases. Let me read verse 10 again. Those who try to be under the old covenant, for indeed what had glory, the old covenant and Moses' face, in this case of the new covenant, has no glory on account of the glory of the new covenant that surpasses it. And that's what we're celebrating this morning, as we have communion, the glory and greatness of the new wineskins, the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, and the glory of the new covenant. And why would you want to go back to that which is temporary and fades away and kills when the new covenant gives light and has so much greater glory that Moses' face in light of the new covenant and the glory that you will shine with turns Moses' glory completely off.